I would like to thank Andrew for leading the community singing up till now. We're now going to have our opening hymn, which is number 199. After this opening hymn, we would like to call Peter Gibson to lead us in a word of prayer. But 199, God loved the world, sinners lost, and we will stand as we sing. In a word of prayer, please. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful Lord's Day that you've given to us. We thank you, Father, for giving us this great privilege to come in now into thy holy presence. And we come in through the name, the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come now and just pray, Father, that you'll come and bless this evening service. We bless everyone that takes part. We thank you for each young person here tonight. Pray undertake for those who give a word of testimony. We thank you for each testimony that a child of God has to give. That you've come into our lives, Father. That you've saved us from our sins. You've washed us and made us ready for heaven. We just come and just pray, especially for the preaching of thy word. You'll bless it to each heart. We pray for those in the meeting tonight who are yet unsaved, who are still unsaved. We pray, Father, you'll come and speak to their hearts tonight. Challenge them, Lord, where they'll spend eternity, Lord. And just pray that you'll speak to their hearts. Challenge them, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit. and Lord, convict them of their sin. We thank you for the gospel, for the hope we have in Jesus Christ, that he's paid it all in Calvary. Just come and pray that you'll just undertake for this meeting, and just pray above all things that your holy and precious name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you very much, Peter. Now we are going to ask Matthew McLean if he can come and give us a quick word of testimony. So, thank you, Matthew.
First of all, I'd like to thank Colin for the opportunity to come up and share with you all what the Lord's done for me in my life. As many of you all know, I was born into a Christian family with parents who love and serve God. This didn't make me a Christian. Each Sunday, myself and my brother Joel were brought along to church and Sunday school, where we learned how God sent his only Son into the world to die for our sins. 10 years ago this year, on Sunday night, the 14th of February 2007, as I lay in the bed, I knew that if I wanted to see my parents in heaven, that I would have to get saved. I can't remember what I prayed, but I knew that if I wanted to see them in heaven, I would have to repent from my sins. The next morning, I ran downstairs and told my parents that I got saved the night before. They were delighted, and I can distinctly remember my mum writing the date on the inside of my Bible. At this stage, I was in P2 in Ballysally Primary School, and I brought my Bible along in with me, and I showed the teacher the inside where the date had been written. She was delighted as well and gave me a big hug. It's not just as bad when you're five, I suppose. After P2, I moved to Comoyle Primary School, which was far closer to where we lived. I don't remember telling any of the teachers that I was a Christian, and only a couple of my friends knew. Can't really say it was difficult being a Christian, because it was a very sheltered environment, and there were some Christian influences there as well. Moving to secondary school, however, was a different story. The language and the conversation wasn't really as innocent as I was used to, but unfortunately, when you have to listen to it every day, it sort of becomes normal. However, I have been privileged with many Christian teachers in my school, including my form teacher, who's been a real encouragement to me over the past 5 years. On my first day at Dunluce, I went into form class feeling nervous about getting friends and Christian friends and that. There was only one seat beside a boy who I didn't know, and it turned out that this was the only other Christian in the whole year, and we became really good friends. And recently another of my close friends has got saved. It would be my prayer that others would come to the Lord as well. At school we have the privilege of Scripture Union and a Christian Union. At Christian Union we discuss the deeper subjects like how to disprove the Big Bang. When I look back over the past 5 or 6 years, I can really see how God works in a person's life. I didn't really get into the school that I wanted to at the start, but when I look back now, I realise I was in the school that God wanted me to be in, and I wouldn't be happier anywhere else. As it says in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. At the end of last academic year, I was given the position of head boy, where I tried to be a good example and witness to all the pupils in my school. I find it a real encouragement that on a Friday night, I can go to youth fellowship and meet up with other young Christians and hear a weekly message from Colin and the other leaders. I'd also like to thank those in the church that have said they pray for me, and this has been a real encouragement as well. I can honestly say that becoming a Christian has been one of the greatest things that could have ever happened to me. In the first year, I lost one of my closest friends to cancer, and then a couple of weeks later, my grandma passed away. 1 year later, my other grandma passed away also. But being a Christian really helped me through these times, because I was able to understand that I would see my two grandmas in heaven again, because they both put their faith and trust in God. Could I just finish by asking you a question? Have you put your faith and trust in God? Will you see your family members in heaven? Or will you spend an eternity in hell? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthew, for that word of testimony. It takes a lot of bravery to come up in front of a crowd and to give a testimony, so we appreciate that. At this point, we're now going to have our second hymn. So if you turn to hymn number 271. 271, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition, and everyone stand as we sing.
Free from the law, O happy condition.
We would like to take this quick opportunity to welcome you all out to the meeting this evening. For all those who come out daily, we appreciate your attendance, and for those who may be visiting today, you are especially welcome. We're now going to call on Frost Church to come and give us an Easter message. So, you're welcome.
Everyone has heard about the terrible Titanic disaster, but are you familiar with the tragic story of how the RMS Empress of Ireland sank on the 29th of May 1914? The ship's passengers included 167 members of the Canadian Salvation Army Band. Only 8 of the band members survived. As those Christian men and women went into the water with their life jackets, they swam through the cool waters, seeking out people who didn't have a life jacket and were struggling to survive. Each time they found someone, they asked this simple question, "Do you know Jesus?" If the person replied no, in an act of unbelievable courage and sacrifice, the Salvation Army band member took off his or her own life jacket and gave it to save the other person. They drowned so that others could live and have more time to discover Christ, safe in the knowledge that even in drowning, they would be eternally with God. Why would anyone do such a thing? Because of what Jesus had done for them through his death and resurrection, and their passion that no one should miss out on the true life that he alone offers. At Easter time, we remember afresh that Jesus' agonizing death on the cross means that he paid the price for our sinfulness and selfishness. Easter reminds us that we can be forgiven by God. The Bible tells us clearly in 1 John 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And through this life sacrificial act, we can become adopted into God's family. God is our Father, Jesus is our ever-present older brother, the Holy Spirit, our constant helper, and the Church is our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Ephesians 2, verse 19, we are reminded that we are in God's family with the words, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God." The fact that Jesus defeated death through his resurrection reminds us that nothing is impossible for God, and we can experience freedom from our struggles and suffering. Romans 8:34-36 tells us, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And in this resurrection is our hope for the future, that we will one day be with God forever in this perfect new heaven and earth. In Revelations 21:4-6, we are given the promise, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from thine eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are now passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto thee that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." This is great news that we must share, even if it costs us everything. Amen.
Thank you, Ross, for that message, and we pray that that be a blessing to all of our hearts. At this stage in the service, we are now going to have the Corian Youth Group to come up and sing for us. And the first song is I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, and this is going to be followed by Jesus Died for Sinful Men. So I ask the youth to come up now.
Thank you.
Thank you for the IFF choir for coming up and singing those two pieces of song. Now at this stage of the service, we are going to have our offering hymn. So turn to hymn number 247. 247 is the grandest theme through the ages run, and you may remain seated through this hymn. The announcements for the incoming week.
Well, I trust that you've been blessed already in our service. We welcome you along, as David has already said. We're really glad to see you here tonight. We thank you for your support. And I want to thank the young people who have taken part already. The pressure's a wee bit off them. There's still a few still to come yet, but I want to thank them all. I trust that they've been a blessing to you. I trust they've received the Lord's blessing as they have witnessed for Him. And I would commit them all to your prayers. We meet on a Friday night in the upstairs youth room. And that's from September right through until probably May, maybe the start of June. And I would just commit them all to your prayers. Most of you, I'm sure, are aware of the pressures of life and know what's going on in the world around us. And the young people do need our prayers in this age in which we live. So I would commit them all to you. Following are the announcements, and are subject to the will of the Lord. After our youth service tonight, you're invited to remain for a light supper. It'll be provided down in the hall, and I'm sure most of you know where that is. And if you don't, if you just watch the crowd, you'll see the direction they're going. You'll be most welcome to stay with us and have a time of fellowship together. On Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. will be the prayer meeting and the Bible study. We'll commit that to you. And then on Friday at 8 p.m, there will not be a youth fellowship because it is the annual general meeting of our church here in Coleraine, and that will be 8 p.m. again in the hall, and you'll be most welcome to come along and join with us at that service. Next Lord's Day will commence at 7 a.m. with an early morning prayer meeting, and then at 10 a.m. there will be the Sunday school and the Bible class meeting down in the hall as well. 11:30 will be the morning service, and it will be taken, I believe, by our own minister, the Reverend Higginson. At 3:30 will be the outreach service in Brook Hill Nursing Home here in Coleraine. And then at 6:30 p.m. We're going to have a visit from the Crown College in England, and Pastor James Zanker will be preaching, and there's 15 of the students will be coming along to take part in our evening service next Lord's Day evening at 6:30. Also, the mission, there will be a mission commencing in our church in Bush Mills on the Preston Road, and that will be running, started today, and it will be running Monday to Friday at 8 p.m. and the preacher will be the Reverend David Stewart. There will also be a Bible conference in Hebron Church, that's Palamoni Free Presbyterian Church, and that will be Monday to Friday, 8 p.m. with a variety of speakers, and there's leaflets on the table on the way out about that. And perhaps you would remember in prayer our own minister, the Reverend Higginson. As most of you are aware, we had a bit of a mishap, but he's hoping to go to take a mission, not this week, but next, the following week, in Ballygowan. That'll be commencing next Lord's Day for 1 week, and he would value your prayers as he travels down there and preaches the gospel for the week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Colin. We're now going to have Howie Condell to come up and give the second testimony of the night, and we ask that Adam Morrow, Simon Condell, and Johnny O'Neill will come up to read from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 24, straight after he's done. So thank you.
Hello, right. First of all, I'd like to start by thanking Colin Gilson for the opportunity to give my testimony. So to start off with, I'd like to read Philippians 4, verse 13, which reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was born into a Christian home on the 3rd of October 2002. I was born 6 weeks premature in the Causeway Hospital. I was in the hospital for 10 days after birth, and as a baby I was quite sick and small. At just 10 weeks I got bronchitis. This forced me back to hospital for another 10 days, but I recovered. But when I was a few months old, we moved to a house in County Tyrone. After Simon came along, we moved to a house in Agadoo and have been living there ever since. 2 years later, after moving, my other brother Thomas was born. The summer before I started primary school, I accepted the Lord as my personal saviour and got saved. I have no recollection of the particular event, and because of this, I was saved at such a young age, and I struggled for assurance for years after. But I found that it helps if you note down specific answers to prayer, and it can be encouraging and personally help me with my assurance that I was truly saved. I went to Cockrell Primary School in Accadoo, which was a very sheltered country primary school with strong Christian influence. Many of the teachers in the school were saved, and we sang Christian songs in assembly, and we had a minister in to preach in assembly. When I joined, there was only 37 pupils, but when I left, there was over 80. In 2013, I done the transfer test, and around this time, my sister Ruby was born. I went to Zari Adam Balamani. This was a major leap from a sheltered primary school, and one verse I found encouraging was Philippians 4, verse 13, 3, verse 14, which reads, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In high school as well, I was always challenged over my views, and after I told them I was a Christian and explained my views on abortion, the Big Bang, evolution, etc., any time anything like that comes up, all heads turn my direction to see my response and input. I always met opposition to my views and still get teased about being supposedly narrow-minded or homophobic, and many Arneans. This helped me in a way, as everyone now knew that I was a Christian. I'd like to just say in closing that God helped me through this time and still strengthens me day by day. And if you're going through a hard time, study God's word and take all your requests and worries to God in prayer. Thank you.
I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons.
And they heard of the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called out unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice and in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree that whereof I commanded thee that thou should not hast eat? And the man said, The woman whom gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, Is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living, unto Adam also. And to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know God, and good and evil. And know lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out all the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
Now, I'd like to thank Harry for his word of testimony, and also like to thank Adam, Simon and Johnny for reading the scriptures to us, and we know that this will be a blessing to the hearts of us all here tonight. Now we are going to call on Colin Gibson again to bring us the gospel message and close us in a word of prayer and bless the food that is provided for us after the service. So thank you.
Again, I want to thank all of our young people for being so willing to take part tonight and indeed to witness for the Lord. And if you wouldn't mind keeping your Bibles just opened at Genesis chapter 3, that's where we'll be spending most of our time this evening. We're just going to seek the Lord's face in a wee word of prayer. If you wouldn't mind bowing your heads, and we're going to ask for God's blessing on the meeting here tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee this evening and we give you thanks for all that has taken place tonight, for the help that you have given to our young people to witness for thee in different ways. We pray now as we look at thy word that you will open our eyes to perceive wondrous things out of thy law. You will guide our thoughts, that our hearts and our minds will be turned away from the speaker to consider the words of the true and the living God. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that each one of us that are here tonight have memories of either being involved in or having or hearing news of a catastrophic event. Something like happened in London at the beginning of the week, or 9/11, as is talked about in America. Maybe those who could go back even to the memory of the Enniskillen Roma bombings or hearing about them. For myself, I have many memories, but one in particular that sticks out is that at one time when I was canoeing in an open canoe, I was actually sucked under the lock gates at Castle Row and come up the other side alive and well on planet Earth, and that has stuck with me forever. But here in our reading tonight, in Genesis chapter 3, we find out, we're informed by God about the most monumental tragedy of worldwide and eternal proportions that affects the whole of mankind, that affects all of humanity, that affects each one of us here in this meeting tonight. Even the youngest babies that are in the meeting tonight are affected by what is commonly called the fall of man, the fall of man into sin. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 12 sums that up very, very clearly. In these words, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. We need to bear that in mind. That should cause the parents and the grandparents, those who are saved, to remember their children in prayer, because even the youngest child has the fruits of sin in their lives, passed on since Adam and Eve. And tonight we're going to look at this event, and we're going to look at some of its effects through the experiences of Eve, the First Lady, and as the Bible says, the mother of all living. And this is Mother's Day. So if you wanted a title, it's Lessons from the Life of the First Lady. And just prior to Genesis chapter 3, in Genesis 1 and 2, just to give you a wee bit of a background, there tells us about God's miraculous work of creation, how he created the heavens and the earth, man and woman, in 6 literal days. Because the Bible is very, very precise when it says the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. It was over 6 literal days. And that included the heavenly angels and all that actually moves around heaven and in the heavenlies. In Genesis 1 and verse 31 and Genesis 2 verse 1, that also confirms that as God looked over his creation, everything was complete, perfect, sinless, and good. God himself pronounced it good. And here we come now to Genesis chapter 3. And I'm just going to go through the verses as best we can, very, very briefly, just drawing some thoughts from that. And the first thought I want to draw is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And here in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, we are introduced to a very attractive, harmless looking, cunning and subtle animal that the Bible calls the serpent. And this animal we believe to be like a snake. And yet, we don't read anywhere that Eve was scared of this snake. In fact, as we read on, we will find that she was dazzled. She spent time talking with the snake. And the snake very much got the attention of Eve. But this was no ordinary snake that we know about today, because in Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12 and the verse 9, God identifies this was no ordinary snake. And in Revelation 12 verse 9 he says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, and there we have the word again, the serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. God here identifies that this serpent was in fact Satan. He calls Satan, even in Revelation 12 here, he calls him the serpent because of his cunning, his deceitfulness, his subtle approaches. He also calls him the devil. And the devil basically means the slanderer, the one who attacks God's people. He calls him Satan. And Satan means an adversary, an enemy, one who opposes and fights against humanity. And that gives us a wee bit of idea of what he is like. And the dragon himself, that really leads us to see that he is the enemy of God and the enemy of mankind. And here Eve is standing facing the devil. And the first point is this. Eve experienced the existence of Satan. And Satan is here tonight in our meeting. But who is he? Isaiah chapter 14. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, we find the description of where Satan or the devil came from. It tells us very clearly in those verses that he was created. He was created, we believe, possibly it could have been around the first day. He was a superior angel, well above all the other angelic host. And he was created to serve and obey God. And we know that he didn't fall in those early days because, remember, we said in the sixth day God said that all was very good. But the Bible tells us that he was lifted up with his pride at his own appearance, his own abilities, his own position. And he was so lifted up with pride that he self-deceived himself into believing and thinking that he was greater than God and should be greater than God. And the Bible says that he led about one third of the angelic host into rebellion against God in heaven and God's rule and God's kingdom. And then as we read there in Revelation, he was cast out of heaven into the earth, filled with enmity, filled with hatred to deceive the nations, the Bible says. Why was he cast out of heaven? Because he sinned, quite simply. He sinned. He broke God's commands. He rebelled against God. First commandment itself, sure, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And 1 John 3 verse 4 tells us that sin is simply the transgression or the breaking of God's law. It's either God's will or my will. That's how we could simplify sin. God's will or my will. And we can see that Satan himself, he preferred his own will. Satan is alive and well today. And he's going about this earth. We can't see him because he's a spiritual being. And he's got a mighty host. And he is out to influence and destroy God's creation. And to destroy God if he could. He's alive and well. And the Bible tells us, when it identifies Satan, that he is an enemy, an adversary, a liar, a murderer, and a deceiver. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 tells us his influence over this world. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. He's here tonight to deceive you. To deceive you into rejecting your need of Jesus Christ. To destroy your life. To destroy your soul. To stop you listening to the gospel message. To take things away from your mind. When the Lord Jesus Christ was describing the devil, and he gave the example as a thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal. To steal from us. To steal our health and our happiness. To steal our lives from us. To steal our peace and our joy. He's coming to kill, the Bible said. He kills all that we may well find to be good in this earth. Kill relationships. Kill your health. Kill your life. And to destroy. But Christ himself said, I am come. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's the choices that God gives us. The devil and his lies and deceit, or the Lord Jesus Christ who has come to give us life tonight. Satan is here tonight, make no mistake about it, like he was in the garden. His agents are with him, and he's here to prevent you from listening, thinking about, or even considering, and turning and trusting the Lord. Make no mistake about it. So in Genesis 3 verse 1, we find that Eve met the devil. And this devil was able to speak to her in a language that was understood. We believe that it was really the devil or Satan had taken over the body of this beast. And here's what he said. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Not only did Eve meet with the devil and can prove the existence of Satan, but Eve was also influenced by Satan. We find Satan talking with Eve, catching her alone. That's a very important point. She was on her own at this time. Adam may well have been close by, but there was only the two of them in the garden. But he caught her alone. And that teaches us that many things, sometimes, when we're on our own, we're very susceptible, perhaps, to the attacks of the devil, to doing things that we wouldn't normally do. When we think that no one's watching us, no one can see what we're doing. For the Christian, there's a word of warning there as well, because the communion of the saints, as we talk about, fellowship together and worshipping God in church services and in prayer meetings and in Bible studies and in outreach, it brings much strength and encouragement and safety through mutual agreement of saints together, meeting together to worship God. There's strength to be found there. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some have. And there are Christians who seem to want to avoid coming to the church of God, and it's a place of strength and encouragement. Who don't want to come to prayer meetings. Hard to understand when God commands us to do that. It's there not only that we might worship God, but that we might find strength and grace to stand together in this evil world. But he caught her on his own. And the first thing that the devil did was he caused Eve to begin to question and to doubt. He attacked her thoughts. He sought to steal away the truth of what God had plainly told her and replace it with doubts and even with rationalization in her own mind. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to attack how we think, what we think about, particularly with regards to God. Matthew 13 and verse 19 says that he's doing the same in the world today. For then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. And that's why it's important when you hear the word of God, you think about what you hear. When you read the word of God, you think about what you read. And don't allow anything to distract you. Particularly tonight, he's here to take away your thoughts from God. Indeed, as we're reading here, so simply Eve's mind and her emotions were being influenced by the suggestions of the devil, just like we can be. And again, the first thing she was led to doubt was God's word. Yea, hath God said. Did God really mean any tree in particular? Did God really say you couldn't touch a tree? Boy, God is very demanding, and he doesn't love you if he's telling you what you should be doing here in the garden. Did God really mean that? You see, the devil wants to attack and cause doubt regarding God's word. And it's clear, we heard it last week, even in the evening service, through our minister, that today there's many who would, number one, add to God's word. Look at the religions of the world today that add to God's word, that it's by works that we can do. The many people that if you were talking to them about being saved, they would start and say, but I'm not a bad person, I do this and I do that. They've rationalized and they've convince themselves in their own mind that they're okay with God because I'm a decent fella. I'm not a murderer. And yet the Bible tells us clearly that if we hate someone in our hearts, we're committing murder. You see, sin's very deceitful and the devil's very deceitful. Others just would say to you, I have my own beliefs. That's not referring to me, the Bible, at the minute. I have my own way. I'll get there. Oh, how we like to add to God's word. Whereas, we're told very clearly, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then with the others, who may take away from God's word, they will deny that the Bible is true. They will deny that the Bible is it really relevant? That was written centuries ago. That's not relevant to this 21st century. We can now travel in space. We're so enlightened. The world is now a better place, they would try and tell us. Or they might say, is it really relevant to us today? Does the Bible really mean what it's saying? They might question it. They might question its authority. We get Christians even who would question the authority of the Bible. Many who would try and deny that the commandments are relevant for this age, and yet God wrote them with his own hand in stone. Christ said he had come to fulfill the law, not to take away the law. And yet here we are. Atheism. Liberalism, we heard it all last week, humanism, all of these different beliefs that are put about in the world today, they want to take away from God's word, that God doesn't really mean what he says. And that is what the devil was doing right back there at the beginning of creation. yea, half God's self, doubting God's word. And then in the verse 5, doubting God's authority. He's saying, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God is keeping something back from you. Something God doesn't want you to do. That's why you're not to touch that fruit. There's something he's holding back. You would be like a god, you know, if you take that. He doesn't want anybody to be like him. God's rules, they're only restrictive. That's only holding you back. Sure, you know what's best for yourself, Eve. Go you on ahead and do it. This will really do you good. You can almost hear him saying that. And when he says the words, he shall be as gods, there we have pride again being introduced. The devil causing Eve to start thinking about how I could better myself. Was God really right? Has God got a right to tell me not to touch that fruit? Sure, I'm in charge of the earth, me and Adam. You see, we're back to what is sin. My will or God's will? You see, here today, aren't we encouraged in all fields of education and learning? We're told to be our own selves. The world's music, the movies, all the different things that we view, the media, the papers, try to twist and turn truth. Truth can change nearly as a day's paper goes by. Don't be influenced by parents, teachers, anybody like that. Don't you be listening to them. Even politicians, don't just get at them. What would they know? Preachers, they're old-fashioned. Look after yourself. Self-esteem, you'll find it everywhere. Self-reliance, self-confidence, self-opinion, that's what's promoted. You're bound to have heard it. And if you haven't heard it, you've read it. Self, is it me or is it God? And that's what the devil's doing. Does God have authority? The creator of all things. The one who gives us breath. The one who maintains this world that we live in. And yet what does Christ tell us in Matthew 16 verses 24 to 26? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Self-denial. Now, that's not a word you hear very often. You might hear all the other selves. Christ is saying, if you want to follow me, if you want to be a child of God, well, then you have to put all of yourself away. It's not what you want. It's not what you think is right. You must take up the cross. You must follow my instructions. You must obey my commands. You must be done with your sin. You must follow my commandments and take up your cross and follow me. I wonder, are we doing that tonight? Is this striking a chord in your heart, perhaps, that you want to live your life your way and forget about God? We're going to see the fruits of that very, very soon. You see, the Bible says that when we sin, we're breaking God's commandments. For as we already had seen, sin is a transgression of the law of God. And Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And lastly, he caused Eve with this influence to doubt the goodness of God. God's keeping things from you here. He's causing Eve to become blind. Doesn't that what the Bible says? We looked at already that the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into their hearts. And that's what he was doing with Eve. Look where Eve was. She was in a perfect environment. A perfect world. No corruption. No weeds. The animals, the birds all lived together in harmony. They were herb eaters, fruit eaters. There was no death. There was no killing. They actually named the animals together. They had control and authority over the animals. There was no rain, believe it or not. First rain, sure, took them by surprise at the ark. God watered the earth through the dew. It was a brilliant environment, the perfect environment. Her marriage to Adam was a perfect relationship. They lived together, open and honest and loving relationships. No shame, nothing hidden, no deceit. Because at that point there was no sin.
They were perfect to each other. And they lived in an idyllic lifestyle. There was no pain, no injuries, no falling of bicycles, no suffering, no pain, no death, and no sin. And lastly, they had a perfect relationship with God. God walked unhindered, no barriers, and talked with them. Do you know what they talked about? All that had happened in the creation, their duties, fellowship together between mankind and God, unbroken, unbridled, any time, no barriers. What an environment. And yet here, Satan still blinded her to the goodness of God and said, look, look at that tree. Why don't you just go and take it? My dear friend, tonight, coming to closing nearly here, you've got to remember this. God has been good to you. And do not be blinded to the goodness of God. God has provided life to you. The ability to sit here and hear His word, to hear His warnings. He has given you the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Don't be blind to that. John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, doesn't matter what your past has been, doesn't matter how you're living today, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has offered salvation for all of eternity to you. Don't be blinded by the devil. Because God warns us that unto whomsoever much is given of Him shall much be required. And we are blessed here in Northern Ireland to have heard the truth. And many of you could quote verses I wouldn't know of and could preach a good gospel message as me. You've heard it often enough. But God says, because you have such blessings, if you reject Christ, much will be required of you, because every single one of us will give an account to God. So Eve was influenced by Satan. And nearly in closing here, Eve also followed his advice. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Eve not only was influenced, but followed the lies and the influence of the devil and ignored God's warning. And at the minute they had taken of that fruit, you can see the change there coming. And the verse 7, the eyes of the both were opened. Natural death began from that moment. They began to age. They began to get old. The weakening and the corruption of all the human body and the faculties of the body began. Something they'd never experienced before. Natural death had entered into the world. Spiritual death had entered into the world. The eyes of them both were opened and they knew they were naked. Shame came upon them. They realized that they were changed, that something was different. Nothing was the same. Verse 8, they hid themselves from the very presence of the Lord God. Sin had become that barrier between fellowship between them and God. And they knew it. And they hid themselves from Him. Fear had entered into their lives. They'd never experienced fear before. Shame and fear and separation from God. That is spiritual death had entered in. Verse 12, they were blaming each other for the mistakes when God started to challenge them. What is wrong? What has happened? This probably happens in quite a lot of homes. The man blamed the woman. What did the woman do? The woman blamed the devil or the serpent. They all were held accountable by God. Because remember, every man will give an account of themselves to God. So I don't care tonight who you blame for not being a Christian, or who you can point the finger and say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Because God will deal with them, but He will also deal with you. Don't be fooled by the devil. Every man will give an account of themselves to God. Romans 5 and 12, we already quoted it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Each one of us are totally corrupt before God. We sin because we want to sin. In other words, we do our own will. We break God's will. We break God's word and his law because we want to do it. And we can't really do anything else because we're sinners by nature. The youngest child, the babe in arms, have been born in sin. It's there. Corrupted by sin. And lastly, in verse 24, we see that God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. That points out to us that God will judge sin. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, God will judge sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And here, God took Adam and Eve and took them right out of the garden and put a flaming cherubim to guard the entrance to the Garden of Eden. They were driven out of paradise in judgment for what they had done wrong. And that teaches us about eternal death. The reality that when we naturally die, that is not the end of life, but that we will be judged by God as to what we have done with Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 20, verse 15, he tells us, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I don't care what your beliefs are as to whether there's a heaven or a hell. The Bible teaches very clearly there's a heaven and a hell. My dear friend, I don't care what age you are sitting here tonight, young person, child, adult, senior citizen. There's but one breath between you and God's eternity. And that breath's given to you by God. No one else. Not the fitness trainer, personal trainer, coach. That breath is given to you by God. That could be your last breath. God will do what he says he will do. And he has said that he will punish sin. And just in closing, the last thing that Eve discovered, and I'm going to mention it very briefly. What a terrible situation. From paradise, they talk about paradise lost. John Milton. They've been locked outside the gates. To start to feel the aches and pains of wearing down naturally. Eve discovered that the only solution to her situation was with God. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God promised a Savior. Because he taught there that yes, the devil has deceived you, Eve, and sin has entered into the world, but there will be a Savior coming. One who will destroy the works of the devil. One who will pay the price for your redemption. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, God tells us, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We have a great message for you this evening. We sang about it, testified about it. We had a reading about Easter. In Adam, all were dying, naturally and spiritually. But in Christ, spiritually, we shall be made alive. Romans 5 tells us, "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ." Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and died a cruel death on the cross for the sins of his people, that we might get to heaven. And that's what's being offered to you tonight. In closing, I want to ask you this. Are you going to believe the lie of the devil that God is withholding good from you? That God will not punish sin, he's a God of love? That God will not cast anyone out into hell? There's more to life than is found in Jesus Christ? Are you going to believe what God tells us? For Christ said himself in John 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I trust that you'll come to him this evening. We'll just close in a wee word of prayer. Thank you for your attention. We'll just seek the Lord now and do invite you to remain for a time of fellowship. Dear Lord, we thank you again that we have a great message to give this evening. A true message, a message that is genuine because it comes from thee. We thank you, Lord, that we have a Savior from all sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Lord, as thy word has went forth tonight, we leave it in thy hands. We thank you that thou art the sovereign and eternal God, that thou art the God who can work in the hearts we cannot reach, that thou art the God who can reveal truth by thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that you will do that tonight, that you will reveal yourself to sinners in our meeting tonight. To those who are in need of a blessing, reveal yourself. To those who are cold at heart, draw them back to thyself. And to thy people, we pray for words of encouragement to be given from the Scriptures tonight to strengthen thy children. Lord, accept our thanks for thy goodness to us. We thank you for the good things that have been provided. Bless them to each one of us and each of us in your service. And as we leave the one from the other, we pray for journeying mercies to give to all that are gathered here tonight. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.